At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski. An over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the All-Star Break edition of the Point Forward Podcast. My name is J.R. Radcliffe with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I am joined by Jim Ozarski, Bucks reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was just in Minneapolis where the Bucks stole one. They didn't have Damian Lillard. They didn't have Giannis Antetokounmpo. And yet they came away with a victory against the Timberwolves. Timberwolves are a good team. And the Bucks went in there and stole a victory. Maybe it's a little nice momentum hit going into the All-Star break. But Jim, I would love to start in a positive place, but I think there's still the lingering issue of who they didn't have in this game, and that's Damian Lillard, who was presumably resting. Sounds like he'll play in the All-Star game. But the bigger one, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who has not played now in a few games as he has a calf injury, which is, I'm sure as Bucks fans know, a calf injury is what kept him out of the playoffs last year. So it sounds like he will be available shortly after the All-Star break. He will not be playing at the event in San Francisco, but give me a sense of where you think he's at, what you've heard. Is this the type of thing that's going to limit him when he comes back? I mean, this is obviously, it's a little bit of a scary red flag when it is a calf injury after we just saw that sort of sabotage the Bucks season last year. So what are your thoughts on this as we head into the break?
Yeah, it's it's interesting, JR. For fans who might not remember, he sat out February 2nd, 1st, whatever, that Oklahoma City game after playing at home against Memphis. And that was under the listing of right knee soreness. and he had been listed with that pretty much every game, every day of the season. Ostensibly, JR, to have him rest occasionally and not run afoul of any league rules. And then warming up in Charlotte, you know, we didn't see his full pregame workout. It kind of coincides with Doc Rivers' availability now, JR. So it's not like the old days where we could see him do his whole thing. And on the 5th, he goes through his workout, and right before the national anthem, right after team warmups, he pulls himself off the court, comes back, looked like he had like fruit or maybe a banana or, you know, hydration, right back out. And now it's a calf tightness downgraded to a calf strain. It's the same calf, JR, as the one that sidelined him for 5 weeks, you know, from April 9th through the end of the playoffs. So, look, he will be off it. Let's assume the calf strain happened on the 5th in warmups, and it wasn't earlier, and he was just sort of managing it. The All-Star break coming out on the 20th, JR, would be just 15 days from that time. The Bucks don't typically do grades for strains like we'll see in other teams, other sports. If this was the worst strain, we would be looking at probably March, right? Based on history. If Doc Rivers is not fibbing to us and he thinks he'll be ready out of the break, you know, you're looking at maybe a lower level strain at a couple weeks. So we'll see. I think Giannis, for as much as he wants to play and have the Bucks win as many games as possible, he has been really bothered, JR, by the fact that he's been unavailable, frankly, the last two playoffs. You know, the Heat thing, I think, was, it's unfair to him. Kevin Love undercut him, and he suffered a bone bruise, right? Like, that was, I think he did the best he could. Last year, obviously, we know. So I think, JR, they're going to be real cautious. Would it shock me if he's not back until the end of February and they give this 3 full weeks and Giannis misses out on any postseason awards with missing 65 or more games, 17 or more games? I think they'd be okay with that. I think he'd be okay with that to make sure this is not something he does again, just 29 games before the playoffs. So you mentioned Dame. He's been dealing with leg stuff, JR, really, for the last 2.5, 3 weeks, be it little soreness, a little tightness, getting kicked in the thigh, getting banged knees. He's been gutting through it. 83 minutes played in a back-to-back, probably not the best idea. Yeah, off in Minnesota. He's going home to the Bay Area. He's going to participate in the All-Star game. I asked him, I was like, look, this is different. Like, you could play two games. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to make sure I'm right. So I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of Damian Lillard playing too much in the All-Star games, JR. So I would think he'll be in good shape coming out of the break at least. Long-winded answer, I'm sorry. But the Giannis thing is so crucial and a little up in the air when you're talking about a soft tissue injury that, you know, he suffered in the same leg, just what, 6 months ago.
Yeah. Damian Lillard will participate in the 3-point competition. Andre Jackson's in the dunk contest. So it's going to be a busy All-Star weekend, but with Giannis out and Damian presumably playing a little less than he may be otherwise, it could be a little bit softer than Bucks fans maybe were hoping for. To go back to Giannis, I'm a little fascinated with how they've used him this year. He's played for the first part of the year when he was healthy. He played every night, man, like aggressively. And yes, every once in a great while he would sit out. But I wonder how big of a deal that MVP carrot is. Now, according to my crude math that I was doing here on the fly, he can actually miss the rest of the February games, the 5 games in February that are left, and still be eligible if he plays in every one of the games remaining on the docket. Now, I don't know if, you know, I don't know how seriously we would take his MVP candidacy at this point anyway, but I imagine that's probably something that's pretty meaningful to him. And I was surprised at how the Bucks were letting him play every game. And this is the type of thing you worry about, that, you know, there is an exhaustion factor and then he comes away with an injury that ends up sabotaging them at the end of the year. But you could also say, is this not the perfect time of the year to give him that rest? You know, let him get going early in the season. The Bucks are, you know, they're hovering just above 500, but they are safely in the playoffs. So give him a rest here in the middle of the season, let him wind down a little bit, give him, you know, ease him into March, and then he's full strength, full go going forward. I don't imagine this is a calculated strategy at all, but I guess it wouldn't surprise me if that had crossed their mind. I don't know if you have any thoughts on any of that.
To this degree, no. I think Oklahoma City was meant for rest. I think they may have given him Minneapolis for rest, or maybe one of the home games, Warriors or 76ers for rest. I think this is an injury. You know, my understanding is not if he goes to San Francisco, JR, I don't know what all-star responsibilities are when you're injured. I don't think he's going for the whole week like he would have, to rehab. And yeah, I mean, the MVP thing matters to him. I mean, he told Vinnie Goodwill at Yahoo Sports earlier in the year that, you know, his kids are getting older and they might have an understanding of what that is. And he would like to win one, you know, while they're, you know, getting to ages that they can comprehend what dad does. But this, I think, is not rest. This is, he's hurt. And to your point of exhaustion, I mean, I'm not surprised that this comes right after Bobby Portis missed week and a half, to be home in Arkansas after the death of his grandmother. I mean, Giannis and Brooke were the only two big men from January 24th, 25th through February 5th. Giannis and Brooke played a lot of minutes. And so am I surprised, I guess, that he suffered something? No. You know, it's unfortunate. He's just sort of prone to some of these things, JR. Look, he's never, since his first MVP season way back in 18-19, he's only played 65 games twice. I realize there's some shortened seasons in there and whatever. We're talking about 65 as the number. He's only done it twice. It's just he's not a guy who I think, unlike others where they try to rest, he wants to play all the time. I think he just gets hurt, to be honest. I think the MVP stuff, you're right, JR. His only candidacy would have come from the Bucks continuing the winning path they were on through January 23rd. And then they went 3-7 before, that game in Minneapolis. And I mean, unless they go 20-5, 20-9, 22-7, whatever the math is. Like, unless they do that down the stretch and get into that three seed, I don't see he doesn't really have much of an MVP chance anyway. So yeah. At this point, I think it's more about making sure he's good to go for the playoffs for the first time really in three seasons.
We have not had a chance to talk about how this team has looked since the trade deadline. We did talk about Chris Middleton being traded on the last podcast for Kyle Kuzma. Early returns on Kyle Kuzma, I'd say, are pretty good. He had a double-double, 19 points, 13 rebounds in the win over Minneapolis. That's probably his best statistical performance. He had 21 points against Golden State in a loss. Like, he's looked like he vibes with what the Bucks have going on. Again, totally an incomplete report card, and because the whole point of having him here is as a supplement to what they have with Giannis and Dame, and we haven't had that option with Kuzma in the house. Oh, we haven't also talked about a couple of other guys that they brought in. Jericho Sims, they're both interesting for different reasons. Jericho Sims, presumably that extra big that they could have used when Bobby Portis was out, they are now down a big because, I mean, Giannis is a big for all practical purposes, I suppose. And he hasn't played, hasn't seen the floor. So that's interesting to me. Meanwhile, Kevin Porter has a guy who's got some baggage, which we could talk about as well. But he's come over and kind of made an immediate impact. I mean, he's been on the floor a fair amount. He had some crunch time minutes here lately. So that's interesting to me. Give me your thoughts on the lay of the land as you see this team now with these new players and how you've initially sort of evaluated what you've seen from them thus far.
Yeah, so we'll do the easy one first. Jericho Sims, asked Doc Rivers about him the last two pregames. There's no Giannis. He's a big. It would make sense to play the big, the extra one. And Doc finally just said, we consider Kyle Kuzma the third big, and essentially effectively ended the idea that Jericho Sims is going to play. And so, you know, we'll see. Maybe he makes an appearance here or there. Very athletic. He doesn't shoot threes, at least. And so he projects as sort of a pick and roll rim runner with Dame or other ball handlers. You know, I can't see how he plays with Giannis at all, because you've got two non-shooters on the court, shooters meaning 3-point. So I think Jericho Sims is a see him when you see him type of situation. Porter is interesting, JR. We can touch on why the organization felt good about bringing him in, but on court, you know, he didn't play initially that first game. Doc Rivers worked him in. He was on the court to end the game in Minneapolis, hit a big bucket to tie the game, and then he had the ball in his hands with a chance to go ahead. And you know, he deferred, gave it to Brooke Lopez, who takes Rudy Gobert off the bounce. Go figure, right? But yeah, Porter was part of the group that made life difficult for Anthony Edwards. And I think that little bit that fans saw of him is what the Bucks hope to see. You know, I think he's listed at 6'4", or at least that's what I've seen. He corrected me and said he's 6'6". So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll say he's 6'6". If you've got him, Andre Jackson, and Gary Trent rotating in next to Damian Lillard, you've got some bigger guys. Porter, in his previous NBA life, was a scorer. 50 points on the Bucks. Youngest player, I believe, in league history to have 50 points and 10 assists in a game. That's where he was trending. Now in this new NBA life, this half season in Los Angeles and now in Milwaukee, he is being asked to defend and use that size and speed on that end of the court and then sort of fit in offensively. And so I believe he's bought into that. I mean, I think that's what he did in LA. Not a great shooter still. Does put it up quite a bit for the minutes he plays. But I think, you know, fitting in Milwaukee, I think he kind of knows, you know, when Giannis and Dame are around, and then even Brooke, to be honest, JR, those are kind of the scores. Now, Kyle Kuzma, John Horst met with the media Friday, right? I don't even remember the days anymore. Before the Philadelphia game, and you know, JR talked about he didn't want this to turn into a Chris Middleton Kuzma comparison, but that will be inevitable. And really, like, for Kyle Kuzma, it's they wanted someone to run, frankly, run and be a better complement to Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo in the two-man game. You know, there was no Chris bashing, no Dallas-styled bad messaging on the way out of a franchise legend. Very delicately talked about what Kyle brings while not putting down what Chris couldn't do. And let's be honest, like Kyle Kuzma has played 33 and a half minutes a game. In the last four, Chris was playing 22. Mm-hmm. Kyle Kuzma is, by their stated metrics, JR, one of the better defensive rebounders out and run. We saw him do that and hit Gary Trent Jr. for a big three in Minneapolis. To your point, no Giannis. So Kyle's kind of being Kyle right now, not shooting it very well, 42%, 22%, 68% from the free throw line. You could argue that's who Kyle is, but with no Dame and Giannis, I don't know. We'll see. I think I know Dame said he thinks it could be a really interesting fit. We don't know Giannis's opinion on this at all. I think what'll be interesting, JR, is generally speaking, when Giannis doesn't get the defensive rebound, he sort of waits around in the backcourt for someone to give it to him. So if Kyle is grabbing a defensive rebound and running, and Giannis is sort of standing back, I guess I'm curious to see how that's going to go as they are supposed to be playing together, right? But maybe this is to ease some of Giannis's burden as well. In times where he's the five or whatever, he doesn't have to do that. We'll find out. But yeah, Kyle, I think, has shown, you know, at 6'9", you know, his ability to switch 1 through 5, be a little more defensively versatile, faster, to be honest. That's kind of what they're looking for. And we'll just have to wait till everyone's healthy to see if it works.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that Q&A you did with John Horst. Do you have any other takeaways from that? I mean, I know. I think you spoke a little about, to go back to Kevin Porter, some of the baggage that he brings into this as well, and sort of, I guess, the risk that you have to think the Bucks are taking in trying to bring a player who has some domestic violence issues in his background. But anything else? Anything else that he brought in from that conversation with John Horst?
Yeah. So for fans to know, by all means, go see it at jsonline.com. Kevin Porter Jr. actually stopped with me as well and talked about coming to Milwaukee. So both of those Q&As are available on the site. Look, I think I alluded to it. I think John handled the trading of Chris Middleton in sort of the best way he could, you know. It's not, but he had to say, like, they're a better team. He thinks they're a better team to win now. That's why they made the move. And so that will to be determined, right? But I think he did right by Chris in some of the things that he said. Porter is interesting that the Clippers revealed, and then Kevin confirmed that it was between the Clippers and the Bucks this summer. So the Bucks were looking to sign him to a minimum deal this summer, JR. So they've liked him for some time. They've done their due diligence, the Journal Sentinel reporting. Shout out to our news team to help me with this. The legal issues, like all of the things with his plea bargain agreement in New York after a 2023 domestic assault arrest and charge, that's all been fulfilled, JR. And our understanding is he has no criminal record anymore with that, what turned into a plea to a misdemeanor assault. Gun charges were dismissed back when he was in an accident in Cleveland years ago. Gun was in the car he was in. They were able to determine it wasn't his, didn't know it was in the vehicle, whatever. In terms of the on-court stuff, JR, he was had some locker room blow-ups in Cleveland and Houston. He was fined for violating COVID protocols just before that great game against the Bucks. In terms of that stuff, look, I spoke to someone in Greece who played with them and couldn't have called him a better teammate last year. He was sort of exiled from the NBA, lack of a better phrase. And so, you know, the team has felt good about the growth he's made through the mandatory counseling and whatever other steps he's taken on his own in the last year, JR. So they think he can fit, right? And John Horst, quite frankly, said it's a sort of a low risk bet, if you will. He's a minimum player. They're going to have a, he views that as they have a minimum contract next year. And so why not, you know, try a 24-year-old who was once signed to an $80 million extension, you know, yeah, because of his scoring ability. And then I guess the thing with this transition back to the Kuzma, it's interesting because we never saw the big three, Dame, Giannis, and Chris. I mean, it was like 120 minutes this year, I think. So few under Doc last year. And they decided that wasn't going to work, right? They made the move. John Horst effectively called Kyle a role player. He put him in the same category as Gary Trent and Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis, and is really leaning on Dame and Giannis and maximizing, accentuating what is already the highest scoring duo in basketball. I'm really fascinated to know what that looks like. Dame said to me he doesn't think it's putting any more on them. He doesn't think him and Giannis are going to have to score more or do any of that. It's just going to look a little different and maybe be a little more complimentary. So I would say those are the three biggest takeaways with Chris sort of addressing the trading of a franchise legend, the Porter Jr. background, and then, yeah, admitting that Kyle Kuzma is not there's no big three. It is the big two, all capital letters. And they are just trying to continue to pivot this team around the axis of the Dame and Giannis two-man game.
Bucks are 29-24 heading into the break. They'll be back February 20th at home. That'll be their next game on Thursday. One more progress report on where you think this team is, because it is again an incomplete picture. They've got some new faces and they haven't been able to trot the whole picture out there yet until Giannis is healthy. They won't be able to do that. I don't know if anybody really feels like this team is going to go deep into the postseason, but I guess it's still a possibility. I don't know. Like, what are the vibes, Jim? What are your vibes as everybody heads to San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, aside from just sort of exhaustion,
that's the
vibe. We started this pod, you mentioning, you know, maybe stealing one in Minneapolis. It felt like that. This team hasn't really won games you thought they shouldn't this year.
That's true.
Maybe the game in Miami, way at the start of the season when Giannis was a late scratch, you know, in warmups again, and Dame went off and they were able to rally. Like, typically the Bucks lose when Giannis like suddenly can't play.
Yeah.
But they had Dame still. So I would say this is probably their most unexpected win of the year for a team that has lost a ton of games to lottery bound teams, all the games to the top three in the East. But, you know, they're 27-16, you know, since that 2-8 start. And we keep referencing it because it is such a huge hole to climb out of. You know, Doc Rivers, for as mad as he gets sometimes at their effort, like he was in Atlanta, you know, he's quick to remind that they've won the one championship that has existed this season, right? In the NBA Cup. So I think the team feels good, generally speaking. You know, Chris is a void. I think there's mystery. You know, I think everyone can kind of see maybe what the outline of what John Horst and Doc Rivers to a degree are thinking with bringing in Porter and Kuzma. But it's a results business, and I think they're just like the rest of us and waiting to see how this works. I mean, John Horst was like, this is a win now move. They want to win a championship this season. And they feel these moves will help them and set them up to better contend with the Knicks and the Celtics and the Cavs, teams that, frankly, they haven't beaten. And if that's their reasoning, I guess we'll have to see. Right, JR? We'll have to see how it comes together and if they're able to do that.
He is Jim Ozarski. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. Again, Bucks will be in the All-Star break here. You've got Andre Jackson Jr. in the dunk contest, Damian Lillard in the three-point competition, and the All-Star game itself. So that'll be fun to see. And then the Bucks get things going again next Thursday. Thank you, Jim, for joining us. We will chat with you again on the other side, my friend.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and jsonline.com production.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. is riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.